Nathan Gunn is in the studio with me, and we're talking about the upcoming production of Mozart's Don Giovanni, an opera which some people think is the greatest opera ever written. And what is this production in general going to be like?
This production, I decided to update it for a couple of reasons. I wanted to, it was written 230 years ago, about, and took place in a time when we had kings and queens and feudal lords and all of that. So I wanted to make I wanted people to be able to relate to the difference between Don Giovanni and Don Anna and Don Elvira and Don Ottavio and their position in the world compared to the people that work for them or their servants or sometimes indentured servants, which were essentially slaves. I don't have slaves in it, obviously, but I have Giovanni being, in this situation, an extremely wealthy corporate raider. He doesn't build companies. He collects them, destroys them, and sells them off for his own benefit. I tried to think of maybe the seediest kind of super...
You're not thinking of anyone in particular, I hope, nor will your makeup reflect anyone in particular.
No, it won't. It will not. I'm trying to keep all kinds of politics and any kind of reference to an actual person living out.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so that happens. You'll see at the beginning... There's a lot to talk about here, but what I've done many Mozart operas and all three of the sort of his trilogy, if you call it the Da Ponte trilogy, with Così Van Tutte and Nozze di Figaro, they are all like that. All women are like that. The mm-hmm. Marriage of Figaro mm-hmm. and Don Juan, Don Giovanni, and what has always struck me was in Da Ponte's words and music by Mozart how seamlessly wed together they are. And as you peel away one layer, you find another layer. And the meanings and relevance to what's happening at the time for them, as well as, the universal story that passes just that particular time, moment in time in history, how that is so clearly told with humor, with beauty and, of course, so often, people notice in, for example, bel canto operas, people repeating the same thing over again, over and over again, andiamo, andiamo, andiamo. But in Mozart and Da Ponte, they can repeat the same thing and have a vastly different meaning behind it because of the music, much like saying thank you or thank you or, something like, please, please. There are different ways of saying things. Mm-hmm. And you can't really separate what Da Ponte wrote and what Mozart wrote. So I based everything on that, mm-hmm. essentially.
Yeah, in 21st century terms, Don Giovanni was one of the most heroic harassers of human history.
Mm-hmm. He's absolutely an anti-hero. Yeah.
Although from the ladies, he seems to have gotten very good notices.
Yeah, right.
And, of course, one of the anomalies of the opera is why such a polished seducer should make his moves on Zerlina at the height of a party.
Right. Well, I think his hubris has overwhelmed him, and there are a number of reasons for that. I think she, as Mozart tends to do, and Da Ponte, she is unusual in the piece because she's like Dorabella and Fiordaligi after they realize that they're human beings. She's an anomaly. She is, in every sense of the word, a modern woman. She makes her own decisions and she follows them. And the tough thing about the opera is that the legend of Don Juan mm-hmm. is always put into it. And of course, the opera's old. It's been around for a long time, so people like to do what has been done before. But if you actually really take a look at what is said in the opera by each of the characters and believe that they mean what they say, it can take you down a very interesting path, one in which I personally have never seen before in a production. Usually they keep to the, Giovanni's the seducer, and then he... even though he may have meant to or may have not meant to, he kills his childhood friend. This is a peer of his. the Commendatore, and in doing so really is a catalyst for his descent into hell. That can all sort of happen and be told in a variety of ways, but there are a lot of things that are talked about in the opera that we never see that happened before it or happen off stage, and we're just told versions of the story by different people.
Don Alfiera has a long story.
Oh, and so does Don Anna. They all have, and Serlina, they all have long stories that are very different from each other.
The problem remains whether whether an assault was made on Don Anna or the wrong person walked in at the wrong time.
Right. The whole opera begins with Leporello, and it's usually done tongue-in-cheek. Leporello is kind of funny and just complaining. But what he's really saying is, every night and day I have to wait on this man. I'm not fed well. I don't sleep well. He doesn't pay me well. He treats me like dirt. I want what he has. I want to be him. I don't want to live the life of a slave or an indentured servant anymore. And then it moves immediately into Anna yelling at Don Giovanni, "You'll never leave me, you traitor. I'll never let you go." And he says, "You're such an idiot. I'm getting out of here. You think you're a fool if you can hold on to me." And she says, "I'll never let you go, never let you go." And then the
meaning, of course, she might be grabbing him until the police came.
Who knows, right?
Well, who knows?
Right.
But anyway, then Dad comes in.
Dad comes in and calls him a bad guy. And Giovanni says, "Hey, look, old man, I don't want to fight you." Because he asked the man asked to fight him. He says, "No, I'm not going to fight you." He asks him again, "No, I'm not going to fight you." Again, "No, I'm not going to fight you. You need to fight me." "Okay, fine. If you want to die, up to you." And then the Commendatore dies. Sometimes he kills him on purpose. Sometimes he accidentally falls on his sword while Giovanni's just playing with him. I'll let everybody see what I do with it.
Do your corporate raiders carry rapiers?
They do not. So there's no sword action, but there are some guns.
I hope so.
Yep. And then what interestingly happens is that Giovanni's never seen anybody die before. Leporello and Giovanni watch him die. And Leporello says, "Good job. Tonight you've murdered one man, you've raped one woman and murdered her father." And Giovanni's response is, "Shut up. You don't know what you're talking about. And if you don't, the same thing will happen to you." So when it comes to, sexual assault in the story, the only person that really accuses Giovanni of it is Leporello, which is interesting. Uh-huh. Because you have different stories from all the different women about what goes on.
One of my favorite moments is when Leporello tells him to give up women.
Right.
And Giovanni's reaction was, "If I gave up women, I would be denying all humankind, feminine humankind."
Yeah. That is, of my awesomeness.
I owe it to my audience.
Yeah, right. I know.
Well, there's so many delights, musical delights in Don Giovanni, and it's such a marvelous work. You have sung Don Giovanni before.
Mm-hmm, yes.
This is your maiden voyage, so to speak, as director.
Yes, it is, the first time.
And is that a new perspective for you, an eye-opening perspective for you?
Yeah, I was, Julie has been, my wife has been encouraging me to do this for some time, and I kind of shied away from it. And so this came up, and I'm like, "Nathan, you should really think about doing it." So we put together Terry Cioffolo, who handles all the technical people at Krannert. She put together a good team for me, a good designer and a costumer and, makeup and wigs and lighting and video. And I talked to them, gave them a whole idea about what I had behind it. And I told him at the very beginning, "I don't know a lot of the technical terms for directing, so we're going to work as a team. We're going to work together on this and try to figure out how to make a really great show." And it's been an incredible learning experience. And that was just the beginning. Now, when it comes to the staging, of course, I was gone some. So Sarah Wigley, whom you may know, who is also part of Lyric Theater, handles mostly – well, she's directed a number of things, but does a lot of – the musical theater directing and things for us. She's what I call my associate director, because more than assisting, she took the helm for about a week or so when I was gone, and is really my eyes, because sometimes since I'm going to sing it with the kids, that was a big decision. I wasn't sure if I would do that with that, but I would do it. But I thought, you know, it's another way of teaching. Mm-hmm. I want them to see what I do to prepare and how I behave on stage, you know, how you take care of colleagues, stagecraft, working with each other, that whole business. But I needed Sarah's eyes while I was on stage to tell me, is this working or not, rather than videotaping or anything like that. And I find somehow that I'm able to, and it's only because I know the score so well, I'm able to multitask and direct while I'm singing the part, and move people around and kind of sing their part, move them there and say, yeah, you want to do this, and this is how I want this to fit together. And it's incredible. John, it's incredibly liberating. I've had to deal with such bad directing over the course of my career at times where I've wanted to change something. And this, I can just do it. I can actually just, no, that's not working. Let's fix this. Or, wow, that was brilliant. Did you mean to do that? No? Well, it was great. Let's keep this in. Things like that. And I guess the biggest difficulty is working within the allotted time that I have to work each scene. So I have, you know, my watchdogs to say, we got to move on.
From my limited acting career, it's been my experience, you get your part, you know your scenes, you start memorizing, and then you live in that little world. Of course, you attend rehearsals and you see how other people are doing it, but, you know, the real center of the play is the 10 lines you're going to speak in Act 3.
Sure. Yeah. Everybody has to believe the stories about them.
Hey, that's well put.
Yeah.
Right. So as a director, you are, in a way, taking a multi-dimensional
definitely.
View of it all.
And it's, it is challenging. It's hard. For me, it's a little bit, I'm very good at remembering stage direction, but sometimes it's hard to remember everybody's stage direction. Fortunately, though, I mean, like I said, my Italian is pretty good, and
sounded pretty good the other night.
Very good compared to to most. Yeah, but I'm not so great at talking about politics in Italian. That's a little more complicated. But having that obvious base, knowing this opera so well, is allows me to be able to put on all those little hats. And sometimes what's funny about it, it looks like a one-man show up there doing all the parts, you know, while I'm telling everybody what I want them to do and whatnot. Yeah, but I'm really enjoying it, and it's given me an opportunity because I had to take out a chunk of time, and I'm happy I did, very happy I did, to do this, and it's allowed me to get to know some of the students I otherwise wouldn't have known, and it's very rewarding. I like it. Yeah. And they get the added bonus of having a ton of people from all over the place coming to see it because I'm singing in it with them and directing it. So,
right.
So they have to be, you know, and I tell them this every once in a while, be prepared.
Well, Thursday night, February 22nd, should be quite an occasion in the Tryon Festival Theater. And you're singing also on Friday night and Saturday night and Sunday.
Sunday afternoon is a student. Of ours, yeah, who is covering it, and he does a lot of the stage, and his name is Wigan Lee. Beautiful voice, beautiful singer.
Well, best of luck with the production, and I eagerly await to see it.
Great, thank you.
My favorite Don Giovanni joke is when Cesare Siepi was being taken down into hell, the trapdoor malfunctioned, stuck. You know the story?
He had to walk off.
No,
what do you do?
No. They tried to pull it back up, and then they tried it back in. Then the Siepi stage whispered out to the audience, "Good news, hell is full." So, what a toy, toy, toy at Hulse and Beinbrook, and I hope your trapdoor doesn't trap you.
Thank you, John.
Okay, good luck.
Awesome.